Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. How are you? You look very tan.
I do. I dare say I'm swarthy today. I'm like, 3 more days, I'd be Sicilian. That's how well I tan up right now. We're still a little red. Not. I'm doing Trump hands. I don't know what the hell that's about. No, it was good. Feel great.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan's great. It's a good time to go visit. By the way, I feel like we wondered if I could do the 9-9-9 challenge, 9 beers, 9 hot dogs, and 9 innings. I'm pretty sure I had like 37 hot dogs this weekend, which means I was worried about the hot dog component of it. I knew the beer would be fine. I casually, during 1/4 of July dinner, as opposed to like the 3rd of July when you have dinner, and then the 5th of July when you have dinner.
That's a completely different dinner. Everyone knows that.
I had 7 hot dogs, and I was going to go back for more. And this was just dinner. And I was like, I can't possibly do that. I have to save some hot dogs for everyone else. But I could have easily had 9 in that sitting.
I
could have.
Here's the thing. Did you go in there with that mentality?
No,
or did
not
it
at
just
all.
Happen?
Just a little hungry. Went golfing prior, and then we fired up the grill, and we started grilling the hot dogs, and then we just got to eating.
So how many, did other people notice how many hot dogs you had?
No,
that's
not
a tough
at all.
One.
Not at all. But I casually almost did the 9-9-9-9-9 while not even paying attention.
See, this is why I know your potential, and now I feel like you know your potential now.
I just had to see it for myself.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't even eat many hot dogs throughout any given year or anything like that.
Did you raw dog?
I like hot dogs. No. I put ketchup and mustard on it.
Okay.
And I am a ketchup and mustard person. I am. I do raw dog some things in life, but not that. And so, easy.
Talking downtown.
You're talking it, not me. The point is, I could take on that challenge. Not even worried.
So proud of you. I think we had a very successful 4th of July.
Yeah.
We didn't go full Jason Pierre Paul. So we all got our digits.
Did we check? I forgot to check when you came in to make sure you still had all 5
still
in each hand. It's the very first thing
especially
I did when
the
I
most
had,
important ones.
When Charlotte was born, it's the very first thing I did. I was like, I counted. I was like, all right, there's 5 on there. There's 5 on there. Toes, good. Okay, good. We're good.
There's no part of you hoping for the Antonio Alfonseca, the 6-finger band?
The extra digit. You know, I've shaken Antonio Alfonseca's hand before, and it felt very normal.
Like, I love cats with dew claw, where like all of a sudden a cat has like he's got like another claw, and he kind of has like a human hand. Humans, it'll change you. I can't tell the story on air. My dad had this long-running bit about somebody that we both ended up knowing in the greater media. And he told me the importance of shaking their hand, that this person would take this as like an affront if I didn't like march over there and shake their hand like a man. And so like a year after my dad passed away, I saw this person, and again, member of the media, could be any level of media, could be anywhere. And I went to shake the hand only to realize they didn't have one.
You just keep shaking.
And that was a great bit by my dad.
You just got to keep shaking.
I felt like such a jerk, which means it was a very successful bit by my father.
And your dad was already passed at that point, too, right?
There was like 3 or 4 bits that dude had laid the groundwork for like 3 years before he passed away.
That's nice.
Every single one of them panned out within a year of his death. And I was like, all right, you're still the king. I bow to you.
I want jokes from the grave. That seems like a good time.
Now, speaking of jokes, the Cleveland Guardians. Can I tell you, I was a little jealous that everybody got the LeBron stuff last week. I was not jealous.
You got a little taste of the LeBron stuff on Monday.
I got a nibble, all right? But I got one bite of a hot dog. I didn't get 7 dogs, if you will.
Yeah, that's fair.
But,
and we had Danny on last week, and Danny was talking about how he missed an opportunity to play with LeBron, in the group in front of LeBron James. And then, like, the one time he passed up on going golfing, it was a busy week.
Why would you want to go golfing in front of LeBron? I'll go golfing with LeBron and then just razz him for being bad at it because he just started golfing.
You wouldn't go golfing in the group in front of or behind LeBron James?
Why would I want to be in front? So every little bit I can be like, oh, there's LeBron.
LeBron hits into you. I don't know. Let's say maybe the ball ricochets off your shin and you got the story about the time LeBron James hit you with a golf ball.
You know,
that's an all-time story.
You know what I would do? I would be the guy who cannot golf at all, but he'll only see my drives, which are the one part of my game I can kind of do. And then I'll be like, LeBron, shorten up a little bit on the club there.
Well,
that guy. Give LeBron the advice, as I was trying to say there.
So we told Danny, I told Danny that it was a missed opportunity. Because like there was a chance, in fact, he said it was the group in back, not in front. I misspoke there. It was the group in back. And so there was an opportunity and a chance for LeBron to be like, go play through. play through. And then you have to hit a tee shot in front of LeBron. And imagine how awesome that would be if you just piped one right down the middle, 300 yards in front of LeBron. Like, that's the greatest thing you've ever done.
All right, you know I'm a massive LeBron honk. We're just two kids from Akron, all right? Just throwing it out there. LeBron's not letting you play through.
No, that's what, so Danny told us that, that LeBron was letting people play through. That was part of what the reports and the text he was getting from the group he was supposed to be playing in, is that he was letting people play through.
I need to see the videos.
Have you seen the golfing videos of LeBron this weekend, by the way? Because now he's posting them everywhere.
I saw the attempts, and I appreciate the attempts because that's I feel like LeBron.
Little short backswing for LeBron. He had some swing speed there, but a little short backswing.
Dude, if you are a tall person, golf gets harder the taller you get. And like, even if you have perfectly fit clubs, which I'm sure LeBron was taking care of on that, like,
yeah,
it there's a lot of mechanics there. There's a reason why like Richie Sexton was like watching an ostrich play baseball, even though he was an incredible player. Because he's 6'6", 6'7". Like, it looked wild to watch a guy that tall try and swing. But that's golf. That's baseball, not golf. Now, I kind of wish the Guardians were golfing instead of playing baseball, because it was bad. That's the thing I did not miss. I did.
You wish they were golfing? I just want to play a completely different sport?
Yes. I think they might have had more success if maybe they'd played a scramble every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Not 18 holes. That's
too much.
Or maybe
they played like a banana ball or something, yes, where it's baseball adjacent, where you keep scoring in a different way.
Yes, maybe cricket. Because I don't know you could have drawn up a worse week for just in terms of how you played on every facet of...
Yep. Good thing we didn't have you predict the record when you left, like we did the last time you were gone.
I would have said 10 straight losses.
Because you got zero wins. You got zero wins this week. The whole entire time you were gone, they got zero wins.
I will tell you, though, it was easier to take in the baseball and not rage. Like, I had to stay off social media because some of you guys were just, I mean, I get it. You're watching it with expectations. I was just watching it on vacation.
I was raging.
It was so much easier to watch it completely detached from anything.
I was raging.
Than if I had to talk about it every day as well.
And the sad part is I spent a lot of time with my father-in-law this weekend, and he has hit the point of apathy. He stopped caring. That man has cared about every Cleveland sport for 50-plus years. He loves Cleveland sports, and he was like, yeah, I don't want to do this right now.
I mean, we guessed when...
He watches everything.
When will Guardians fans hit apathy? It wasn't this weekend, because there was a lot of rage there.
He hit it. I was raged. I especially when certain parts that just kind of get you in different ways. And anyways, I know things go viral for certain reasons, right? But when Stephen Vogt has the sunflower seeds that are tossed in his direction and can't even muster up a smile, as you can tell, I don't even know what coach that was. Whatever coach that was, it was just trying to get him,
call him Mike,
to not be as serious as he was in that moment and just kind of joke around with him. But Vogt knew he couldn't really have fun and play any games. And then the press conference that Vogt did and all these other little things that just, the idea that they called up Will Wilson of all people as if it was like a slap in the face. Why they just kept doing things like that that were outside of baseball, the actual baseball being played, where we all knew they weren't going to score any runs. They were bothersome in a million different ways.
And for the second time, guys, can you put a better lineup against Tarek Skubal? Can you try? I mean, the OPS of your 6-9 hitters yesterday, there wasn't one guy. There were four of the five guys below 600.
I mean, that's their lineup, Nick. That's their lineup. Quan played. J-Ram played. Like, that's their lineup.
But the point is, like, do something else. Put a guy with no OPS because he hasn't played yet. Like, you can't. It's the second time this season where they've been like, well, Will Wilson, right? Six old, seven old,
and I thought that would make people a lot of mad, because it almost feels like an insult to then call up Will Wilson when you got all the people that we want to see still down in the minors. We want to see DeWater. We want to see Kafis. We want to see Brito, but it's not happening.
But it's not like your outfielder just went on the IL. You clearly needed a seventh infielder. Everybody knows that they needed a seventh infielder. I will say, though, as an observation of the rage point of the Guardians, a fair amount of which is, I think, 100% fair. Guys, let's put the blame where the blame belongs, and I think it is to Antonetti and Chernoff, and not to the Dolans, and to a lesser extent to Stephen Vogt. Like, their failure on a 5-year to 7-year run of not being able to identify bats, and that includes trading for him, which we've had a lot of success for this organization. That's why the Guardians are where they are, not because the Dolans is cheap, although that's not helping things either.
They're at a minimum, in my mind, on a hot seat, and I honestly, I don't know what one more offseason is going to do. If they can't develop bats, and they clearly can't develop anything when it comes to hitting, well, what am I supposed to hang around for? What's the long-term play? They have all sorts of at-bats, apparently, that can get up here and be proofed to the idea that they can develop any of these guys, but what am I waiting on?
More bats to come through, seeing if you can get it right. Like this is where I will pump the brakes on the panic train just a little bit. It's not hard to go out and find. Austin Hayes was had for $6 million, guys.
Look at the Tigers, the team we just played, right? Torres was a name we talked about in the offseason, was it not?
Yes.
Torres is the starting second baseman this year for the AL All-Star team.
And, I mean, if you look at it, you could have put, just on Naylor and Jimenez, if you put that money just into Hayes and one other hitter, your offense is probably just functional enough to be certainly not on a 10-game losing streak right now, but maybe five, even better than 500.
Okay, but then they need to start doing what is something they've avoided for a very long time, and that is paying proven Major League Baseball talent and to stop thinking that they can do it.
So,
because they can't do it.
You can't, but you also need to understand like there has to be a balance between leaving spots open for young players and leaving every spot open for young players. That's where they failed. Again, like I say Austin Hayes because he's kind of the perfect Guardians player. 15 to 20 home run pop if he played 150 games. He's a good contact hitter. He's a functional outfielder. Like, that's $6 million. This, like, you don't have to sign Teoscar Hernandez, who I think got $25 million on a three-year deal or something like that from L.A. You don't have, like, there are functional offensive players out there who, honestly, at this point, most of the guys you're coming up, you're just hoping they're functional, and they're not even that. 216-474-0092. Who deserves the most blame for this season? This is something we're going to get into because this was at some point, when you lose 10 straight games, guys, it's more than a Diet Coke fix. I am the pluckiest optimist of Guardians fans out there. I do believe a lot in what they do. Everybody's got their hand in the cookie jar of blame here. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40. Anthony Castrovince, we'll ask him the blame game question at 3. Joe DeLeon, we've got Joe at 4. He has the Browns taking quarterback, I think you're probably going to scratch your head with. But that's coming up at 4. The Peterlin pass at 3:20, but 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, who deserves the most blame this season? We agree on where it is. Now we just got to continue to get to what they're getting wrong and how to get it right. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.